Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Grovecast. My name is Mark. That music is loud.
It's good. I'm glad our listeners can't see me. I'm just sitting here grooving with a little house.
Dabs Greer. Dabs Greer. It sounds like a rapper. MC Dabs Greer.
That's right.
So that's Susan King in the background. How are you, Susan?
Hey, I'm great. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Walnut Grovecast.
It's MC Kevin Hagan on the wheels of steel and human beatbox Dabs Greer.
That's right. So D dot abs.
Welcome to Walnut Grovecast. Yep. I'm going to start calling this episode the Carolyn Quiner episode. or the Kiners. Quiners. Quiners.
Quiners.
Quiner.
Quiners.
Quiner.
Rhymes with whiner.
Are you from the Quiners of Brookfield, Wisconsin?
Yeah, this is my fussy episode, and I'm sure people are listening on Susan. Every episode is your fussy episode, but man, there's so much wrong in this episode. There just is.
You know what's interesting is that Caroline's parents, who are not in this episode, not even talked about. I'm just looking at a timeline here. Her parents' names were Charlotte and Henry. I don't know why I find that so interesting.
Charlotte and Henry.
Henry Quiner.
Henry Quiner sounds like a car salesman.
I'm a mink merchant. I don't know. What was he?
I don't know.
He wasn't a CEO, I bet. Bet he was not.
No, I said I bet he wasn't a CEO.
I'm saying I bet he was not. I agree. He lives today in the D. Smet Cemetery in South Dakota.
Aww.
He died on April 20th, which was... Just 8 days ago. Well, I mean, you know, and 100 years, you know, 95 years and 8 days ago.
And I think that's where Carrie was. It Carrie that moved to South Dakota because she lived real close to the.
Carrie did die in Keystone, South Dakota.
Yeah, she lived right like at the foot of Mount Rushmore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she did.
I wonder if she has any selfies.
There was a couple of pictures that I've seen in different books.
But it's like the original selfie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Mount Rushmore wasn't completed until I don't even know when. Now I'm just like throwing out stupid facts. I don't really know enough about Mount Rushmore to start. Anyway, what is this episode that we're talking about?
We're trying to get to I Do Again, Season 7, March 2nd, 1981, Episode 20.
Mount Rushmore was started in 1927.
Huh. When did Carrie die?
47.
Okay,
but she couldn't have seen much. She probably saw like, you know, an eyebrow or something.
A nose hair. Oh, a nose hair.
That's kind of sad, actually. Now that I think about it, all you got to see was an eyebrow. Or
she married Mr. Swansea, if I'm not mistaken.
The picture of me and a cheekbone.
She was Carrie Ingalls Swansea. I think that's how you pronounce that name. I don't know. It's dangerous between the Almanzo thing. Wow. Oh, I don't want to go off the deep end here.
I don't know how I got onto the topic of Mount Rushmore.
Carrie lived at the foot of it.
But I'm not willing to let it go yet, because it did actually open. The execution of the project did end in 1941. So she got to see it. Good for her.
She did. She did get to see it.
Mazel tov. Yeah. That's wonderful.
It is. Go ahead.
I've never been.
I haven't either. Well, we've got Dan Balick and Bill Claxton teaming on this one as writer and director. And that's usually a good team, but I'm a little frustrated at Mr. Dan on this episode. We'll get to it.
All right. Should we just jump right into this episode?
Let's just jump right in.
I was so busy reading about Mount Rushmore. you did talk about the date in the episode already?
I did. I fully introduced it. So
I am
not
drinking, I swear.
Yes, you are. You're always drinking.
I wish.
So this episode opens with Charles walking down the street with a letter in his hand. And he looks cheerful, so we know somebody hasn't died. And he walks over to the restaurant and decides he needs to rush and go tell Carolyn what he's discovered in the letter.
Well, not just that. The fried chicken looks really good.
Yeah, it does. I love it when they cook, when they throw them big old slabs of ham in those cast iron skillets. It's like, yeah, buddy, I want to go out in my kitchen and cook something.
But here's my question.
What?
There's no grease. It's fried chicken, right? It's a whole thing. It's like a good 12, maybe 15-inch diameter cast iron pan that should be full of grease.
Okay. You know the answer to that already.
You know what? They might have fried it. Wait. No, I don't think that's Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know what? But you made me think of something. It's possible they fried it in a different pan. And they put it into this to keep it warm.
Just keeping it warm. Well, they have to pre-cook it. My gosh, if they cook chicken, fried chicken takes a minute. If they cooked it fresh for every person it's not like they got a line out the door anytime.
What are you saying? You're saying if I go to Taco Bell, like they aren't taking ground beef?
It's under warmers. Yes, it's under warmers.
No, I had no idea that's the way a kitchen works. But here we go. The first clip of Caroline. Yes. Mind their own business.
Hi, Don.
Charles, you and Almanzo finished the roof already?
No, dumbest thing. We ran out of nails. I had to come into town.
Oh, Charles.
Hey, stop by the post office. Got a letter.
I sure hear it. I hear the, you know, the shortening.
You hear the sizzle, the Crisco.
Yeah. From Wisconsin.
Oh?
Yeah. You remember Ed Paulson?
Oh, of course I do.
His oldest son's getting married in 2 weeks.
Oh, one lamb stew and one chicken. Coming up. We'll have to send them a nice gift.
Yeah, I thought we'd do better than that.
What?
Take it to them.
What do you mean?
Well, they invited us to the wedding.
Oh, Charles, I'd love to go, but more lamb stews.
For what? We haven't been back there for 20 years.
The one thing that's funny is the door opens up, and you see, like, one person sitting there, but the way Nellie's coming in, it's like there's a riot going on there, and it's like, I need this, and I need that.
Yeah, Riggs, and lamb stews. Steak and eggs and whatever.
Like it's pre-made. You know, it's not going to be that difficult. But
right.
Caroline, the overwhelmed woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding.
Stop.
Well, you can see how busy we are.
They're going to be married in the same church we were.
Oh, Charles, I'd love to go. I really would. But you can see, I don't see how I could get away this time.
Well, Mrs. Olson could fill in for the week.
Well, we can't really afford to lose money.
Oh, Carolyn, we can afford it. Come on.
She must have put 6 pounds of that stew on that bowl, on that plate. That's like a family size.
Not only that, but Charles saying we can afford it. Okay, so now I got money to burn.
Exactly.
On a little trip, really?
Yeah, like a big trip.
They're going to be broke next week again, so I don't know what. Well, you know how he is with money. Count the chickens.
It's true.
Before that, Dad,
I can't really talk to you about this now. Could we talk about it later?
All right, but think of
it. Oh, Laura's joining us for supper.
Okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
I love the way she handles that because, you know, she's just gritting her teeth like, dude, I'm busy. Would you shut up and get out of this kitchen? She's just so, no, I really can't talk about this right now. If that was me, my hair would be aflame. Dude, can you not see that I'm working?
Right across the street, we have Laura at Doc Baker at Hiram's place. And it's really good news. So,
it is. She was feeling poorly at school and said she was going to go see Doc Baker. So
you know what? I meant to clip that because Albert's like, hey, you all right? Teacher, you know?
Teacher.
Clearly, he's still mad at her.
Yes.
You know, when she was being snippy.
Are you absolutely sure?
No question about it.
I thought maybe that's what it was, but I didn't want to.
I'd say you're easily 2 months along.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait to tell Manly. Oh, thank you, Dr. Baker.
He'll be so happy. I'm not just getting fat.
Exactly. But finish that clip.
I will, I will.
Play I'm that just... gorgeous music.
Not so fast.
And she goes and lights up a cigarette.
Yeah,
it was a shot of whiskey.
They rarely play that, though. They played it a lot during the Laura and Almanzo engagement episodes. But the full piece of that music that they just played where it comes to that wonderful
like the crescendo. Yeah.
Yes, anyway, okay. I just love it.
So we have Charles and Almanzo at the homestead. And they're working on a roof, and they're kind of just talking about it, talking about life.
Yep.
Could have been finished by now if we didn't have to go into town.
We didn't lose that much time.
I suppose. Hey, where are the kids?
Albert took them fishing. I think they should be back in a while.
Charles!
Ugh.
Supper will be on in about an hour.
Perfect. We'll be done by then, darling.
All right.
Jack is just sitting there kind of like, I'm just, you know, I'm dead. I'm dead.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen Caroline look so happy.
Basically a happy person.
Well, not like lately. I mean, she's fair bursting with good cheer.
Maybe. Of course, why not? Things are going well. Even a half pint are settled. Mill's doing good, so is the restaurant.
Yeah, seems right.
Of course, there's another big reason why she's happy.
What's that?
But she's married to a very wonderful person.
Hilarious. But yeah. He always knows how to tell hilarious jokes. He does laugh really hard at his own like bad jokes, which I think
is funny. Yeah, he does. But I love his laugh.
It's no, of course. It's just one of those things where it's not funny at all, but it's for whatever reason you laugh. I don't know.
Yeah, and he's getting a bigger kick out of it than the person that he told. They're just kind of like shaking their head going, sure. He's laughing away.
So Laura comes up and she has some crazy news. You can hear her racing up like crazy.
Yeah, she's getting wrecked out of the wagon.
Natalie!
Laura, what are you doing?
You're not going to believe it!
What?
What?
I'm going to have a baby!
A baby?
Now, do you hear like Charles start laughing there?
I ain't shooting blanks after all, Monzo.
But it's kind of like, it's kind of funny. It's like, why is he laughing like that?
I guess because he's happy.
But he's not in the screen. I feel like they just took that from another laugh.
A whole tape full of Charles laughing.
Like, you know, Charles didn't acknowledge it, and he should have.
Well,
I have a feeling because he would normally do something that's like, woohoo, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. He's always swinging Carolyn around every time she's pregnant, so.
Here we go. We have Almanzo, who's going to show how excited he is about it.
Mm-hmm. A baby?
And he falls through this crappy roof they're building.
Manly?
Right. Almanzo, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You all right?
I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Where did Caroline come from?
Baby?
She came running.
We're gonna have a baby?
That's right.
Oh, sweetheart.
Almanzo, put me down.
Oh, sorry. Just can't believe it. Can't believe it.
Now, this is where the episode takes a turn.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who are like this, and I think we're seeing a bit of a narcissist at work here. A lot of people are going to hate that I'm saying this, but I think that not only do I think that Caroline is selfish, I do. I genuinely do.
Do you really?
Yes.
You're not... Okay.
No, I'm being
never
sincere.
Never thought of it from that angle. But...
I think that there is a time and a place for everything. And to announce your sixth child when somebody just announced, your own child has announced their first, give it a day. Let them have their moment. Let's not steal it away. And that's genuinely the way I feel.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, you're right.
Oh, I wonder. I don't know if this is the right time to tell you.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not, idiot.
I was going to tell you tonight at dinner anyway.
Oh, well, see, that's another thing. All right, you were going to tell at dinner, and it would have been appropriate, right?
Right.
At dinner. But now that she told her thing, you know what, even tell everyone at dinner then. I don't know. I think it's selfish. I genuinely do.
She's stealing their thunder.
It is a little bit.
Well,
yeah.
And she will continue doing this later on in the episode. We'll
yes.
see her repeat this. And I genuinely think this is an unintentional narcissistic writing. That somebody did something like this and they were like, well, I'm going to make it into a reality. So I genuinely feel that way.
Okay. You're allowed.
You know, I think Laura's child is going to have an uncle the same age.
Not weird.
I'm pregnant too.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, my Lord.
I can't believe it.
Me either.
Why, are you sure?
Well, as sure as I could ever be.
Another thing is when Laura went to hug Caroline, she touched her left shoulder. I don't know if you caught this.
Mm-mm, I didn't.
And Caroline recoils in pain. Almost like it could be just something that it could be that the actress, you know, maybe Karen Grassel had pain there and
maybe
soreness, but I'm just going to play it back. It's just weird. Like, I kind of caught it, and it all just didn't really work well with me.
What? Oh, no!
Oh, my Lord!
I can't believe it!
Ma, are you sure?
Well, as sure as I could ever be.
You have to watch it, because it's almost like somebody stabbed her in the back. She goes,
oh, wow.
She even makes the expression, like, oh, and she puts her hand over it.
Maybe she was sunburned.
That's totally possible. That's the face you make when you have a bad sun.
Right. Maybe so. She was sunburned. It is Simi Valley. You know, temperatures of 110 or whatever. The stories that Allison tells. So
definitely possible. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's exciting. You know, it's definitely exciting. We do quickly learn the truth. You want to hear what the Reverend has to say about this?
Yeah, I think it's funny.
Well, how you doing, Reverend?
Laura just told me. What wonderful news.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I can't get my mind on anything else. Now, Carolyn,
Carolyn's positive that it's going to be a boy.
Oh, boy. You want that very much, don't you?
It's going to be a boy.
Yeah. It's kind of like something that's in my soul. It's got nothing to do with how much I love Alma.
Well, of course it doesn't.
You know, Reverend, I didn't realize how much I really wanted a boy until she told me she was pregnant.
Charles, I'm not one to throw cold water on a body's hopes, but, you know, you got to prepare yourself. That baby could be a daughter.
I know that, Reverend, and if she is, she's going to be loved just as much as the others. I just want to hang on to that dream for a while, that's all.
My prayers are with you, Charles.
I know it. Thank you.
Oh, Charles.
Yeah.
You know where the Bible says, go ye therefore and populate the earth? You didn't have to take it quite so literally.
You pervert.
Well, and I just realized this is along the same lines as my pet peeve. When Carolyn was pregnant with Grace, he was angry at Carolyn because she was obsessing about having a boy. And now all of a sudden, Charles is coming clean about, yeah, I really want a boy. I really want a boy. And, yeah. And a most precious gift. I mean, they were fighting about it. I've never seen Charles and Carolyn be so testy with each other. Because she keeps calling Grace a he, and Charles is just like, why do you always have to say he? And blah, 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 and losing his mind. So that's another inconsistency in the storyline.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those kind of weird ongoing type of concerns. And, you know, I had this type of, you know, thing in my head where I wanted a boy. And, when we got the sonogram done, it was, you know, thought of as a girl because the angle wasn't quite right. And up until the delivery, we were not sure because of they could not get a clear image.
Aw, but that's exciting, though.
But we were convinced that it was going to be a girl.
Aw.
So I am relieved that I had a boy. I think, you know, when I see the way these girls that are his age are dressing.
Yeah.
You know, 10-year-old kids. And it makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm just very happy that but we'll see. You know, I could change my mind. Also, I wish I had a girl. All right. But so Caroline goes for her her checkup, Doc Baker's office.
Well, am I the picture of health or not?
Certainly are.
I'd put around first of the year, wouldn't you?
Carolyn.
The birth, I mean.
Sit down.
How old is Caroline here, you think? In her 40s, right?
Yeah, early 40s.
It's kind of early to be going through the change. I mean, it's not unheard of.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when a woman has, I mean, she's given birth 5 times. Does that make a difference, do you know, or is it just, it depends?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody's clock is just different, and mine started winding down real, you know, early, where it's like 1 month you might have a cycle, then you go 2 months without one, then you have one, and you just kind of go back and then finally, you know,
it just
the shop closes down permanently,
right?
And you start having hot flashes, and on you're like, oh, okay. But yeah, they call it perimenopause when you're just starting to go through. And yeah, I mean, it's not real common. I guess most women have it in their 50s, but yeah, I was, because I'm 57 now, and I haven't had to go to the counter and buy tampons for probably 15 years or longer, maybe 20.
Think of all the money you save. Jeez.
I know, it's great, it's awesome. And no cramps.
There you go. Like a blessing.
That's right. And no PMS.
And yeah, hopefully those were not too personal questions. It's one of those things that I'm just not sure. But here, let's play. Yeah, I mean, I think that she is in her 40s.
Yeah, I think she's like, 41 or maybe.
Yeah. I'm fine. You said I was fine.
You are. But you're not pregnant.
What?
There are no indications, whatever.
Oh, no, you're wrong. I can feel the child growing inside of me. I've even had morning sickness 3-4 times.
I imagine.
That might be Charles' breath.
Right, there you go.
Imagine you expected to, so you did.
No. Oh. I have to be pregnant. I told you it's been 2 months since my last cycle.
Carolyn, there's something you have to face. All likelihood.
What is your last cycle?
Oh, no. Please, no.
Can't allow yourself to take it that way. It's something that happens to every woman sooner or later. Not usually at such a young age, but I've seen it happen to even younger women. You've borne 5 children.
Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, especially this in the late 1800s, it would be even more so sad. Also, she did not give Charles a boy. And I think that's the main thing here. I think that's the underlining thing where if she had just been able to give him the boy that he so badly wants.
Right.
Charles' fault.
Well, when I don't know if you're planning on playing the rest of the clip or not, but as she goes on talking, I always imagine how Karen felt about speaking that line.
I'll play it.
Okay.
The guitar. I always picture Almanzo playing it.
I told Charles he was going to have a son.
I wish he'd come to me first.
But I was so sure.
Did you hear that? It's really, really faint, but you hear Doc Baker go, "You still have to pay." It's like weird. It's really dark. Dark. I don't accept chickens anymore, Caroline. I have enough eggs.
And apples.
It's you that doesn't have the eggs.
Oh, all right. No. That was low, dude. Come on, that was below the belt, literally and figuratively.
I think our listeners could take it. Yeah. No, but I genuinely feel for any woman who feels this way. You know, I'm kind of putting it up right up there with people who might not be able to have children at all. And it seems like that's kind of like what Caroline's going through. Well, something similar. Yeah. But, you know, she it's silly to me a little bit because it's like you have so many healthy kids and you have a grandchild on the way and it's so narcissistic. It's
right.
Your happiness is now gone for your daughter's daughter's pregnancy.
Well, she still hasn't uttered the cringe-worthy line yet.
All right, here I'm gonna shut up now.
Okay. How can I?
You've got to.
I can't do that.
Carolyn, you've got to. It'll be a blow to Charles, but certainly nothing he can't withstand.
But what about me? Not being able to bear any children. What will I be to him except some nothing?
Now that's not true.
Yes, it is.
You know it.
It is.
He's got to know.
I can't face telling him.
I'll tell him.
No! Please. I'll work it out. I will. I will. I promise. I just... Promise me you won't tell him. Please.
Charles, we have to talk, you know.
Yeah. Did you hear Karen choking in the middle of that line? What will I be to him except some nothing? I mean, as much
it's
of a
dark.
Liberated woman as Karen is, and you're like, pooey.
Yeah, but I would think, I think that I think a lot of women, especially then, would feel that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's honest.
It's absolutely appropriate. It's absolutely
it's
appropriate for
very brutal.
The time that they're living in. But just, you know, with an actress with her mindset about strong, powerful women, and there's Carolyn saying, I'm not going to be anything to him but some nothing because I can't keep pushing out kids. It's heartbreaking, but it's just like, man, Carolyn. And as much as he loves her, it's like, really? That's all you think he thinks you're good for?
Right, like making bread and making babies, you know? And
right?
It's like, that's nuts. And we know it's nuts, but it's also the role of the woman in the 19th century.
Unfortunately. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even though it was like, you know, you saved an entire restaurant business. And, you know, it's like we don't take all that into consideration.
Right. Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It really is.
And it's also ridiculous. Okay, this is my part where I get to fuss. So Mr. Dan Bollock did not do his research because in the episode, A Most Precious Gift, where Carolyn has Grace, she thinks that she has started going into menopause. And she's just in Doc Baker's office and she's just like, well, isn't it obvious I'm going through the change? And she's just real la 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 casual about it. And then, of course, Doc Baker tells her, well, you know, that's why I don't let my patients diagnose themselves because they're never right. And you're pregnant. But she's just real, just like matter of fact about it in that mm-hmm. episode. And I think that was season 5. And so I realize it's 2 seasons later and people think different things at different times in their life or whatever. But, you know, I'm so persnickety about
you,
about the continuity. No, I know. Because it's, you know, it's like the writers don't understand. Hey, we're inviting these people into our homes every week. We know every hair on their head. We know every inflection, the way they move, the way they walk, the way they talk, what the characters' morals are, blah, 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 blah. And then y'all go and flip on us. And
right.
It's like lazy writing to me.
Now, I'm going to fast forward us a bit with the episode just because there's a lot of little stuff that is about to happen.
There is. Yeah.
Like, for instance, we get to see Nelly and the twins and Percival, and we get to see the babies and everybody's so happy, and we see Caroline practically have a nervous breakdown from the moment. Because, you know, it's one of those things where if you're with somebody and you break up with them, all you're starting to see are couples. You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
It really just gets people. Yeah, that's what they're looking
for. She's trying to escape out of that dining room before they come downstairs with those kids. She's like, I just really don't need to see a baby right now. Thank you very much.
But so Doc really realizes that Charles does not know about the baby.
Yes.
I'm going to go right to where Caroline finally fesses up with Charles.
Okay.
And it's one of those kind of sad little House on the Prairie moments.
Yes, it is.
Charles. It's all right. Just tell me, what is it?
Charles, I lost the baby.
So she creates this weird scenario.
Yeah, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Doc basically thinks that Charles knows the whole story because yes, Caroline does. Essentially told Doc that knows the whole story and lets Charles know that
what really
didn't happen, you know, what would never exist. So, and that's very sad. So Laura and Charles are talking that night at the little house.
No, Charles goes to see Laura in the schoolhouse.
Yeah, why am I? I didn't queue it up. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have behind Laura, of course, very, very sloppy cursive.
Yes.
A cursive that would never, ever, ever pass a 19th century school. But it says history something chapter 7. It's like, what? Sloppy ass writing. Get your cursive on, girl. All right. Like a New Yorker saying girl. Yeah, that's one of those
things. Girl.
What is it?
It's your ma. She's not going to have a baby. Doc Baker said she can never have a child. She's known about it for some time.
maybe she could, I don't know, be nice to me about my pregnancy for 5 minutes. Know? Who knows? Maybe, yeah, she could just send a letter, throw a shower.
So afraid of the way I'd feel that she just lied to me all this time.
It's all your fault, Charles.
Damn popcorn.
I don't know what to do.
Right.
I found out she's hurting enough.
I think you're right about that. She wants to tell you she will.
It's my fault, you know.
Yes, it is.
She's so wanting to give me a boy.
Thank you.
God, how can I?
Buy a boy. You did already. You already bought a boy. Give Albert.
I thought you were referring back to the episode with Todd Bridges.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that episode?
Oh,
I always
gosh.
Called it the Slave Boy episode. Or the Willis episode.
Willis episode.
That's a heartbreaking one too.
It is.
Todd Bridges completely. Is awesome in that.
Yeah, but you got a great Charles Ingalls one-liner telling Perriott that it's his son from another marriage.
Yeah, and he's like, and how he was trying, right. He was going to sell himself to him. Oh my!
You could buy me, and you could do this, and that. Oh yeah, it's heartbreaking. Yeah. But Laura states the perfect line in this scene when she says, if she wants to tell you, she will. And she needed to whisper that into Doc Baker's ear, because I know we had to skip it for time. And Doc Baker is right that by Carolyn not telling Charles, it is, quote unquote, senselessly cruel. But on the other hand, she really feeling some way about this. And he just needs to mind. I mean, where does he get off? He's the town doctor. And he's like, I'm not going to sit by the and put up with this any longer. I'm just like, dude,
what else are you doing?
Yeah, really know your place, man. This is their family, not yours. I mean, I love Doc Baker, but every time I see that scene, it's just like, who asked you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand by and watch this any longer. Well, then go out of town. Hey, just go on with your bad self. It just makes me so mad. But anyway, so Carolyn slide.
So Charles and Caroline talk that night.
Yes. Yes.
Fun. Both need to get away.
We have disposable income.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we'll take the train to Milwaukee, say, then I'll rent a rig and we'll drive up. Get there day before the wedding.
Ching, ching. The nickel.
I already talked to
her. I know, I was going ching, 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 ching.
It's all about to keep an eye on this place.
I understand.
Just don't want to go.
Still in our quilt.
It's not exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no desire to go. Then I have no desire not to go either.
Menopause.
It's something that... Whatever you want to do.
That's a good woman right there. No, I'm kidding.
All right, then we'll go.
It's very unlike the character. It's very sad to see.
Yeah, poor Carolyn.
It's the attitude of a very defeated person.
Oh, absolutely. All I kept hearing is the ching ching of the dollar signs. We'll take the train. Ching ching, we'll rent a rig. Ching ching. Okay.
Don't worry, because as they're on their way, Charles is making a campsite. So I don't think there's going to be too much change.
They ain't stopping at the Ritz along the way, that's for sure.
Here we go. Here's one of the lovely views of the crick.
Thanks. These are going to have to simmer for a while.
Oh, we got a lot of time. Smells awful good.
They're surrounded by hobos.
Right.
Do you know where hobo came from? Did we ever talk about that?
No.
The word hobo. It actually, people always consider it to be like old, you know, people who are, you know, they jump the trains and everything. There were actually homeless boys who would be jumping the train. That's what hobo means.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I knew what hobo meant. I didn't know that. Specifically for boys.
Yeah, it was boys who didn't have a home. It was almost like the orphans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was this whole thing, and that's how they would travel around the country. But I didn't know that you knew about the homeless boy. Most people don't know it has anything to do with boys.
Well, I'm special.
They think of it as men. Here's the rest.
Beautiful spot, isn't it?
Yes. I don't want to keep you this like, way. I hope you know that.
Oh, another mosquito. Ow.
Mosquito. First, I can't deny their feelings. Just have to wait them out. He's a way of getting better once he gets as bad as he can get.
The alligators in the background.
Stop.
It's not a very nice looking spot to stop and build a fire.
Something I've been wanting to tell you.
You don't build a fire next to like a swamp. You know, you get all the bugs.
Yeah, true.
Just having such a hard time doing it.
No.
What?
I'm in love with Harriet Olsen.
But just things I've...
It's true.
Things I've been thinking, and I don't like myself for thinking them. I shouldn't keep it from you.
What is it?
You know, when you told me about the baby, I was just as happy about it as you were. I was. This is a darn heart, I'm sorry.
That's what she said.
It's just that I got to thinking about how hard it's been for us raising our family. And how little time you and I have had together.
Here we are spending dollars.
And then I got to thinking that I'd be in my 50s by the time he or she was 10 years old.
50?
I think more like the baby's grandfather than father.
Make me feel old.
Right? Me too? Oh, really? Me feel old?
And I started thinking I just wasn't.
Well, I'm 46 and my kid is 10. Still, though. I feel like old, I'm 50.
Old man.
Yeah.
I got 11 years on you. Stop.
Sure, whether I wanted that baby. And I feel so bad for thinking things like that.
Charles, I know what kind of man you are.
And why do I feel this way? I'm sorry.
Oh, Charles,
because you're
be
trying
sorry.
To get her to fess up.
You're full of it, Charles. Yeah.
It's natural to have mixed feelings.
All right, I can't listen to any more of this nonsense.
Yeah, well, he's trying to use psychology on her to get her to fess up, and it don't work.
It's like, seriously, like, you know, she's read a book.
Nothing.
She's read a book. You know?
Exactly. She's not going to admit nothing. I never really was pregnant, Charles, so I'm sorry you felt so bad, because she doesn't say nothing.
So Charles shows up to the Cups family, right? No. You wrote that they were the Cups family in the Class of 56 episode.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever happened to the Cups? It's Arnie Cups and his family, and his wife was Carolyn's best friend, and now all of a sudden they're another family.
Yeah, and there's a lot of inconsistencies. Like, we see, you know, Caroline as a kid, and all of a sudden there's a house, and it's all very strange. Yes. I'll play a little bit of this, like where the introductions, and we get somebody wearing a certain article of clothing that would normally, I mean, it wouldn't be totally impossible, but it'd be pretty impossible to be wearing.
Here, they're here.
Nice buggy, by the way.
Here they are.
Well,
Charles.
How are you doing?
Yeah,
I'll give you a hand, darling.
Oh, thank you. Oh, welcome.
Look at the size of these youngins you got here.
Ed, it's wonderful to see you, Charles.
Oh, darling.
You two ain't changed hardly at all.
Hey, well, I was about to say the same thing to you.
Eunice's cooking has caused some difference.
Now, he's wearing the weirdest tie I've ever seen in my life. This is a tie style that would have been popularized in by like Laurel and Hardy in the 20s, and maybe in the teens.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the oldest son's turtleneck.
I am. I am. Because
great minds think alike.
Turtlenecks were worn in.
Pardon
sorry,
me.
It's okay. In Britain, you know, people were wearing turtlenecks in the 1860s.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
Okay.
But they didn't really become a trend in the United States until the 1920s by somebody named Noel Coward. And, of course, early feminists began wearing them and turned them into kind of a unisex item. And it became like the beatnik type of, you know, badge of honor, right, to wear like a black turtleneck and a beret. But yeah, I mean, English polo players first wore turtlenecks in the 1860s. And it represents kind of a movement of an anti-tie form of dress.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this guy would not normally be wearing it. That's all.
It's a nice turtleneck, though. Maybe, I love the color.
Maybe he had a hickey or something.
He is, after all, engaged.
Yeah. And his wife, or I mean his fiance, is wearing a very low-cut dress for the time. I think that it's showing just a little too much skin on the chest, in my opinion.
I didn't notice that.
I just noticed it in freeze form.
Right.
She's, you know, it's just, I think, a little bit much. She's also wearing a choker, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Has it really been 20 years?
It doesn't seem possible.
Meet our boys. This here's Stephen.
Stephen, yeah. How are you?
Richard.
Hi, Richard. Hi.
Henry, our bridegroom.
Henry, how are you?
Singles?
Henry.
And our future daughter-in-law, Myra Louise.
Hello. How you doing? Sure, it's nice finally getting me.
She's the one barely wearing a blouse. The naked lady with a lot of face paint.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Ingles.
Same here.
Boss told us all about the things you used to do.
We were a little bit wild, were we?
Oh, just having fun. You boys get their things. We let you two freshen up before supper.
All right, fine.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn.
It's another episode where there's alcohol. You know, like,
uh-huh.
When I was a kid, I remember there really not being that much alcohol on the show. And I say this all the time. Watching it again, I'm noticing it more and more.
Yeah, there's tons of alcohol.
Bizarre.
Tons.
I don't know why I never noticed it before.
I know it. I didn't either. But boy, since I've been doing this podcast, the booze is flowing.
Yeah, they probably had a sherry, which is probably like 15% alcohol, or they could have had a, you know, something a little bit fancier than that, like a cordial. Yeah, cordial could be yummy, delish. But the host of the house has like a huge glass of it. Charles has a little bit, but he downs it.
Yeah, I was gonna say
he's not wasting.
Have a problem throwing that stuff back.
No. Not after that trip with Caroline. No, I mean, I know I'm being tough on her and everything. I do think that it's a little bit crazy. But then again, you know, this is where a woman's biological, you know, part of her entire hormones. Chemistry is out of whack.
Those hormones, and it's really, it's nothing, I mean, it's nothing to play with.
I mean, you were probably out of your mind. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was okay, but actually, and I hate to bring up such a dismal thing, but we're talking about women's hormones. I still believe to this day that that's why my sister committed suicide. Mm. I think it was all hormonal.
Wow.
Because she just did not feel like herself, and her friends would say that she would go to the doctor, but then she would never follow up. And my sister was one of those real natural people where she used that natural toothpaste and natural deodorant and all that jazz, and she wasn't real crazy about taking medication, but I mean, sometimes medication for people can be the difference between, you know, night and day. When I was going through so much mess with my divorce, I was having such bad anxiety and anxiety attacks and stuff. I finally went to the doctor and got a very minimal prescription of Lexapro. And
well, just to get you kind of, you know, centered.
It's been like the different, because every day I would just feel panicked, like I was going to have a heart attack or something. It was the most horrendous thing, and I got tired of going to the emergency room because it was like, oh, you know, I think I'm having a heart attack or whatever. Well, it was anxiety attacks, and I didn't know it. And they gave me that Lexapro, and it was like, honey, it's a new world. So yeah, as much as we joke about hormonal balance in men and women, and especially in women, I mean, it's just, I really wouldn't be surprised if that was why my sister committed suicide, because her hormones were just a mess.
Well, that's a real shame. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it is.
I know it's been a while, but I mean, it's still.
Yeah, it's like 14 years ago. She was an amazingly talented artist and got to hang out with a lot of cool people like Patrick Stewart and a bunch of other. She did his movie poster. I mean, his Broadway poster for A Christmas Carol.
Wow.
And had him, he autographed like 300 of them or something, and they gave the money to some kind of a charity. And she was the one that did the original artwork on Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah, she was a very, very, very talented artist. But, you know, as with a lot of artistic people, yeah. That fine line between brilliance and madness. And she never had a lesson in her life.
Well, I think I told you, I mean, it's one of my closest friends. Maybe he was always bipolar, but, you know, he was, as he got older, he was diagnosed as bipolar. And these are two of my closest friends, identical twins. And he got worse and worse and worse. And he flew out to California. They were living out there, and he would just fly back and forth so often. And one night he calls me up and he just sounds terrible. He's like, I'm in a hotel, you know, you have to come, you have to help me. But I go there and it's like, holy crap, you know, it's just it's like the Rolling Stones, you know, were at the hotel, you know, TV smashed and wow. You know, just terrible. And
bless his heart.
And he's just sitting there and he's like, I know everything about you. And he starts telling me all this, like, made-up scenario of my life. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, you're just way out there. So I call his brother, whatever, a couple, you know, and they get him back on his meds. That was the first time I ever saw, like, somebody really out there. And, he did something to the form of, you know, they call it suicide by cop, you know?
Yeah.
He basically took a shotgun and pointed at the police out in L.A. Wow. And, they did what they had to do.
So, right.
You know, he was firing at them. You know, I don't think for one second that that they did the wrong thing. It's just like...
No, not clearly, at all.
Yeah. But, you know, in a lot of ways, my other, you know, his identical twin took it hard, of course, but I think he was very relieved to be able to, you know, go on with his life.
Yeah. Bless his heart. Well, I only know for myself that I always try to look at the positive side of things, and because I deal with veterans and because I deal in my work, yeah, and I deal with a lot of people with mental health issues, not just PTSD, but whatever. But that's what I ended up being diagnosed with, PDRD, which is post-traumatic relational disorder. Believe it or not, you can go through so much trauma and so much grief in a relationship that you will actually have panic attacks, flashbacks, similar to PTSD. Now, of course, I never saw anything as horrendous as people see when they are in war, but that divorce happening was so traumatic for me that I was having flashbacks and panic attacks. I mean, it was, wow. But it helped me relate to my clients, because it was like, wow, I know I'm only getting a little sip of this compared to the gallon that they have to drink every day, but I get the feeling of, I don't want to feel this way. And yet feeling like you have absolutely no control.
Welcome to Walnut Grovecast.
There you go. Welcome to the mental health episode of Walnut Grovecast. But I mean, I was never suicidal or anything like that. But it just helped me relate a little bit more to that craziness. So it helped me with my work. So
I'm glad that you reached out. I'm glad you reached out and got the help that seems to have worked. You know, a minor change. And this is a very special episode of Walnut Grovecast.
Carolyn needs some Lexapro.
Yeah.
Charles is putting it in her tea.
I'm going to go right to our clip. Here we go.
All righty.
Yes. Only thing is...
What?
Well, I'm not looking forward to that wedding tomorrow.
You're not? Why?
Oh, it's
same church we were married in.
If there was only a way we could ruin it for them.
Those two young people there, it's sort of like two lives beginning, two lives, well.
Are you saying we're old?
Not exactly old.
I'll tell you something, but... just as old as you feel. Come on.
Where are we going?
We're going to your old house. Stevens is run down as you think we are.
Which is just such a it's a nice house. It's, you know.
Yeah, I love it. See, I could just die happy in a house like that. White wood frame house with a porch. That's my dream.
You know there's no foundation on that house, right?
I know. I don't care. I pretend.
You know, if you dropped a bowling ball on one side, the whole house would probably shake, right?
Yeah, I know, but I don't
You couldn't
care.
Put a piano in a house like that.
Houses like that in Houston and Houston Heights, which is still filled with a lot of Victorian houses and bungalows and stuff. Oh, my gosh. They go for $475,000 if they've been refurbished. They're probably in the millions. So, yeah.
That's about the normal around here.
I'm not going to have my little old $140,000 house. That's not going to be something I live in any time in the near future.
Well, you know what? You never know. The whole market collapse.
But, well, hey, yeah, here's some cheers to that.
Exactly.
It's all about me.
Let's demonetize the universe.
Mm-hmm. So I can have my dream house.
So basically they're stalking these poor old people who live in her house.
Right.
Look how beautifully it's been kept up.
Yeah.
It said it was.
Almost like I never left.
Have you?
Except for this old pruner.
Right.
And they have a nice water well in the background. I don't know if that's a water well or is it a grain mill? I don't know what it is.
I don't know, but it's nice.
Yeah.
My wife grew up in this house. We were just visiting.
Oh, your name Quiner?
It used to be.
Ada!
What?
Come on out here. They stood empty more than a year till we come along.
What is it?
One of the Quiner girls.
Man's sake!
Our name's Fitz.
Charles Ingalls, and this is my wife Carolyn. How you do?
I was just telling my husband the place looks as nice as when I was a girl.
Probably better with all the fixing we did.
You guys left it like a dump. You slobs.
And I love the land sakes. It's like land sakes is like see ya in this episode.
Yeah.
They must say it three or four times.
Land sakes. Yeah, I think she says it again.
I wonder what the origins of that is.
What?
Well, I wonder what the origins of that is. Land sakes. What
I looked it up
mean?
Once. I forget what it is.
Okay.
It might have something to do with the book.
Could my wife go upstairs and take a look at her old bedroom?
What?
Look at her bedroom?
Yeah.
Charles,
just for old time's sake, wouldn't you like to?
Yeah, Charles. Yes,
could
that's
she?
The water closet now.
I reckon.
Don't mind my wife's bloomers.
Thanks very much.
Now, this is the ultimate scammer.
I'll see you in a
minute. Yeah.
What are you going to?
Well, just go on up, and when you get up there, open the window.
Caroline cases the joint. Charles is going to distract them. Caroline's going to throw the, you know, stuff out and distract them by climbing up the trellis.
I thought the same thing as she looked at that.
I'm just going to climb up the side of your house.
I'll wait for the next land scene.
Climb up the side of the house?
Yeah. See, I want to climb up to the bedroom window there.
Why don't you just use stairs like everybody else does?
That'd be in your dad if you let me.
I can't figure out you young folks.
I wish my wife could hear you say that. What do you say?
Well, tell me why.
Well, I just figured out what me and my wife need.
Oh, what's that?
A little court.
You're going to court your wife by climbing up the side of the house?
Sure, I used to do it all the time. See, I'd come sneaking over here at night right before she went to bed.
Get a feel.
Yeah. Well, here I am.
I was just telling Mr. Phipps here how I used to sneak over here every night to give you a kiss.
Charles Ingalls.
See, I wasn't allowed in the house, naturally, that late at night. So I'd come sneaking around here and climb up that trellis to her window. You say?
Go ahead.
Appreciate it.
See what I'm saying? I climb up here every night to give her a kiss. I remember one time, climbed up here, stood right there on the roof and proposed. You remember? Carolyn, I let... Whoa!
Oh! Are you all right?
Yeah, I think so. And this trellis is even older than I am.
This is the same guy who fell out of a 15-foot tree and, you know, then right. He carried, like, a bunch of bushels of grain.
What an excellent point. Why didn't he take his shirt off after this, falling down?
Well, this is 81. He's getting older, you know.
Wouldn't that make his bones more brittle?
Maybe. It could. He probably has padding on.
Jeez. Yeah.
But I think it's a fun, it's a cute scene.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. Now, Amonzo tells a fairy tale to Gracie, which I think is a very sweet scene. Amonzo, by the way, has one of the weirdest haircuts he's ever had.
Yes, he does. But I love the character voices. It's just like, dude, you can do work. You could do voiceover work. Every one of his voices is so unique. And yeah.
Do you want to hear a moment of that?
Sure.
Now, Amonzo, or Dean Butler, is very skinny in this episode. More so than normal. I don't know if you...
I didn't really notice that.
Yeah, I kind of caught it after the scene with Gracie when he goes and meets with Laura. I'm like, he looks really, really thin. Like, he dropped weight.
Where he goes down the stairs after... Yeah.
I don't know. It could be my imagination. Here we go.
Bears came upstairs. They went creeping up the stairs. 1, 2... And they got to the top of the stairs, and they opened the door. Look, Dan. Papa Bear growled. What did Papa Bear sound like?
Roar. Somebody's been sleeping in my bed, he said.
So they're having a great time. I mean, it's a filler, clearly.
Yeah.
But it's also giving, Dean Butler the time with a child to get... this, you know, fatherly instinct.
Good in. Practice for the future, as he says.
Yes. And I just think it's all really sweet. And what is next?
Carolyn calls and tells Laura that she and Charles are getting married again.
Yes. Hold on one sec. I think I rely too much on your times because the times aren't here. It's okay. You know what it is? I got lazy with writing down my times.
Oh.
But
so it's your fault.
Well, it could be.
Hello?
By the way, they have a phone in their house. Yeah, you know, everybody seems to have a phone all of a sudden.
They do.
See, because we're in the future now, you know, and I love that. I love the fact that they're on the phone, they're talking. And the way that people react when you're on the phone and they're talking to you, they still act the same way, which I think is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Because we have Almanzo saying to Laura something.
What
is see
it?
Her just shush him it? Away. Yeah, like, what is it? Shush.
I know. I love
Shut
that.
Up.
Yes, Mrs.
Well, Mrs.
Of course.
Not- Her voice is still not matured, though, which is kind of interesting.
Hi, Ma. Yes, they're fine. Amonzo just finished putting them to bed. And they miss you, too. How are you feeling? What? You're going to what?
We're going to married again.
He did. He didn't get hurt, did he? Oh, Ma, that's wonderful.
Dead. He died. Oh, that's wonderful. You get the $5,000 insurance policy.
There you go.
From the nitroglycerin.
Yes.
I wish I could be there. Yes. I love you, too. Give Pa a kiss for me. And don't worry. Take your time coming home. I will. Bye, Ma.
Now, there was a scene cut out here, and she goes, at the end, I wonder if she's ever going to acknowledge the fact that I'm pregnant. jeez.
Right.
So what happens is that Caroline and Charles have decided to renew their vows, which is very sweet. And they're going to glom on to the young couple and turn it into a double wedding.
Double ceremony with Henry and Myra Louise.
I'm going to play some of that. It's more of a visual of how ridiculous it looks. Yes. And what's even more strange is that Caroline borrows the groom's mother's wedding dress.
Yes.
For the service. Bizarre.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here in the sight of God, the face of this company.
Very nice church, by the way.
It is. Point
this out. They have candelabras and all types of nice. White walls.
Join in marriage.
Flowers.
No plaster.
Wicker flower. No plaster. Well, yeah, it's just wood planking. But they have, vase holders. Made of wicker.
Right.
I don't know. Is that correct for the time?
I don't know.
This man, this woman. Marriage is an honorable estate, not to be entered into lightly. Into this estate, these young people come to be joined in wedlock.
And they get married and they glom onto these poor people who, you know. Yeah, a Victorian bamboo stand. It was pretty popular-ish. Not necessarily in that exact style, but they existed.
And it's so interesting whenever they go someplace else other than Walnut Grove, because you really, like, you know, I'm sure you've said a million times before, but you really get to see some of the different, because it's even the women's clothing. It's like all the other women are dressed period appropriate. And I'm sure Carolyn is too, because she's a farm wife. But you know what I'm saying? You get to see more of the period appropriate.
Well, their wedding dresses are, it's weird. The tuxedos that the men are wearing, I think the younger groom is wearing something very modern, like almost too modern.
Right.
The two dresses, I think, are very, very, they're very nice. I just don't know if they're accurate. I mean, I'm just not sure. They don't seem to be goofy enough. Charles is wearing Carolyn's like his regular suit.
Right.
Yeah.
Carolyn's is pretty poofy though.
Also the younger woman seems to be in either a pink or champagne colored.
Yeah.
But anyway, of course, you know, Caroline would be in white.
Right.
My eyes are burning. But
it's gonna explode. Spontaneously combust in the middle of the church.
But it's a very I thought it was very sweet. They go on horse and buggy at the end. One says just married, and Caroline and Charles, of course, say just married again.
Yes,
very cute, very sweet, and that's it. It's very, very sweet.
And Carolyn's still wearing the dress of the woman, so she's going to steal it and take it back with her to Walnut Grove.
And Gracie will wear it.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good episode. This is one of those that I've watched over and over again, despite all the little hiccups in it that make me a little cuckoo, but, you know.
This one because I wanted to do newer episodes. I think that we've really kind of ignored the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe less the 6th, but it's just, I just want to get away from the older episodes for a little while.
I hear you. And I like the 7th season. There's a lot of pretty decent episodes in it, but the 8th season, just, ugh.
Oh, really? You don't like it?
No. I mean, I like all the ones with Nancy. I like it when, you know, Nancy comes on to the thing. But there's a lot of episodes that when it becomes New Beginning,
I don't know. I'm thinking Growing Pains might be a good one.
Yeah, Growing Pains is a good one. I think they're playing those right now.
Gambini the Great is in aid. Got The Legend of Black Jake. Got a lot of good ones.
That episode is crazy. The Legend of Black Jake.
For the Love of Nancy is always funny. Wave of the Future could be fun.
Yeah.
That one's, that's the one that people remember the most. They also misremember it very often.
The Green Napkins.
I feel like we did that. We didn't do that.
No, we haven't. We haven't done that one. What is it, Mrs.? They get that, pull that drunk woman off the street and she poses for the picture.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I can't even remember her name now. But yeah, and Charles and Nell's making a competition restaurant that finally puts them out of business. So yeah, there are some good ones.
No, I know that you're going to be traveling for the next several months. So you're going to the...
just for 3 days.
To the Keys or wherever you're going.
Galveston.
Same thing. And I was thinking maybe we'll pick up with about the Legacy. That's always fun.
Oh, okay.
It's always a fun episode.
That is a fun episode. I like that one.
All right. Well, we'll pick up with the Legacy. Susan, thank you very much for getting together tonight for this wonderful episode.
You're welcome.
And if you are listening to this and you appreciate this podcast, please visit us at walnutgrovecast.com. Or if you're feeling as though, you want a sticker, or you want any of the stuff that we create and send out to all of the people who financially offer some level of support, you can visit us at patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.
You certainly can. I've encouraged that with my picture of my bumper sticker on my car. You got on the sticker. Facebook.
And the stickers are good because they will not mess up your paint. That is not a guarantee. But
no disclaimers here.
No, but I paid slightly extra for the sticker just because it's, it has the UV finish, so it should not, yellow in the sun. It shouldn't, change color. And it should be able to be removed without any damage to paint.
Well, I put mine right over my brake light, which is in my back windshield, so that when the brake light comes on, it's like a nice beacon. Lights up.
Sweet.
I love LH. Of course, people that don't know, they're like, what in the world is LH? OTP, but that's okay.
I think people know what it is.
You think?
I don't know. Well, if you do a quick search for LHOTP, let's see what happens.
Oh, I'm sure it pops up Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, the first thing that comes up, when did Charles and Caroline Ingalls die? And it even shows you, the Amazon thing to watch the last.
Oh, cool.
93% of Google users liked Little House on the Prairie. I'm gonna give the thumbs down.